Okay, but in any case, today what I wanted to do is from the middle of chapter 2, so we've been adding basically material that we could prove things about, the set theory and also the number theory. But now what we're going to do is go back to proof techniques, and we're going to add the final and in many ways the most interesting proof technique, and that's proofs by induction. So this is the last proof technique. Okay, and actually, in some sense, one of the theorems we've already proved is a variation on induction, but it was kind of disguised, and so I'll redo it later, trying to reveal in what sense it, and how it could have been written as an induction proof. Okay, I think what I'd like to do is just start with an example of a proof by induction that sort of illustrates how it goes, and then write out how the general picture of how they should all go, and then do some more examples. So example, just to get us started. So a typical type of theorem that you might want to prove by induction is something along the following, which kind of it's a beautiful fact. And so this is a claim. So typically you'll have something like for every for every n and it'll typically be a natural number. Okay, so remember this, the natural numbers start at 1, so 1, 2, 3, etc. That's the natural number. Okay, so for every such n, we want to show that we get some fact, and let's see, which one was it? I'll do this one. So it is true that, and that's part of the, from 1.7, it's nice to have some words in between equations. So the one that we have here is that n squared can be written as 1 plus 3, where you just add up all the odd numbers up to 2n minus 1, okay? So this is a typical type of theorem that you might want to prove by induction. Okay, so let's do our usual things. Planning. As from section 1.7, the first thing always to do is to make sure that you understand what's going on. So the n equals 1 case, we have 1 squared is equal to 1, the n equals 2 case, we should have 2 squared is equal to 1 plus 3. This one's true, that one's true. N equals 3 case, we should have 3 squared is equal to 1 plus 3 plus 5. That one's also true. And so just keep going. Okay, so that's what the claim is, and it seems to be true, so that's at least consistent. All right, so that's the beginning. Next, we want to look at the logic, okay? And so the logic, and this is the logic that is standard for induction proofs, and it's of the following form. It's for all n and n, so that's the usual situation. There are some slight variations, but that's the main one. Then you have some proposition, and it should be some proposition which depends on n. So this is the type of logic, and this is the correct logic for induction. Okay, and so then the next thing to do is the induction technique. And so the idea goes as follows. What you want to do for induction is you want to get started with one case, and then you want to say, well, a later on case follows from the previous ones. Okay, so let's just do that. So induction to show that this is, holds, and let me just do a special case, and then we'll try to make it work in general. To show the formula for n equals 4. So we could just compute it like we just did, Or we can try to do it in a way that will give us some hint as to how to do it in general. So let's try the latter, okay? So so we have 4 squared is equal to, and what I want to do is make it related to the previous case, okay? So so I'm going to have 3 plus 1 squared, okay? So that's going to be closer to the previous case. And now I can expand this 3 plus 1 as 3 squared plus 2 times 3 plus 1, right? Now, why is that better? Why is that a help? Does that make sense? So the point is that I have that 3 squared there, okay? So I can expand that one. So then this is going to be equal to... I'm going to use my previous formula up here, that 3 squared is equal to 1 plus 3 plus 5. Okay, so I'm going to plug that in, and so this 3 squared is going to be 1 plus 3 plus 5, right? That's the 3 squared. Okay, and then what's left is this 2 times 3 plus 1. Okay, but that's just a 1 plus 3 plus 5 plus 7, and that's what I wanted, okay? So so what I did was I got the 4 case from the 3 case, okay? So does that make sense? So now I want to do that in general. So, or more generally, actually maybe I'll just switch colors. Okay, so if I just go through and try to do what I did before, so I'm going to make... this 4 here into the next case, okay? So more generally, I'm going to take this 4 here to be n plus 1 squared, okay? So this is going to be, so I have here n plus 1 squared equals, okay? And so then this, of course, is just n plus 1 squared, and so then I'm going to expand it like I did over here, so equals n plus 1 squared. So this is, I mean, not worth writing, obviously, but I'll just write it so it's identical to what I have up above, right? And then I'm going to expand it here, and I have n squared plus 2 times n plus 1, right? So instead of a 3 here, I have an n, right? And then I go on to the next one. And what I can do is I can write this first, I can expand out this n. So I'm going to get 1 plus 3, and so this is the trickiest bit. Ah, okay, yeah, sorry, 2n minus 1. That's right, the formula is 2n minus 1. So thank you actually for mentioning that. So let's just write, so what is 7 here? This is 2 times 4 minus 1, right? So that did turn out to be 2 times n minus 1 in that case. So that worked. Okay, so, and actually, this is right now is when that's relevant, that comment there in the chat. So if I want to expand this n squared here, how far do I have to go? What's going to be the last odd number? That I get from this n squared. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be 2 times n minus 1, right? That's going to be how many I can, what I can replace this n squared with. So this is 2n minus 1, whoops, minus 1, right? And so this part here is what replaces this n squared. Okay, just like up above, I replaced 3 squared with 1 plus 3 plus 5. Now I'm replacing n squared with 1 plus 3 through 2n minus 1. So that's the trickiest bit. I hope that's clear. And then there's one more term here, this last bit here, plus 2n plus 1. Okay? So, and that's the next odd number, right? Because this was 2n minus 1 and this is 2n plus 1. So that's the next odd number. And so then I can rewrite this. Okay, and this is the last tricky bit. How should I rewrite this 2n plus 1 so that it looks like something minus 1? Yeah, exactly. It's exactly right there in the chat. Does that make sense? So this is the number I'm interested in now, is n plus 1. So I'm going to rewrite this here as 2 times n plus 1 minus 1, right? Which is another way. That's the same thing. They're both 2n plus 1. Okay. So that's the logic. So we got... Pn plus 1 using Pn, right? So this was the structure we had. We wanted this Pn plus 1, and this is our Pn, right? Is it this fact is true? And we used the Pn here, and we got the Pn plus 1. So that's the approach to a induction proof. Let me just write it out now. So this is our sketch over here. Let's just write it as a proof, and then I'll write out how you do them in general. So this is the way that I would normally phrase it. For induction, oh, how did I get that it was 2n minus 1? Okay, so there's a couple things. Let me try writing out the proof and then see if that, well, okay, I'll try, let me say, first I'll try to answer your question, then try to answer the proof. So, so what we're assuming is that this formula is true for the n case, okay? Yeah, so what I'm assuming is exactly this formula here, n squared is equal to 1 through 2n plus minus 1. I'm assuming it, okay? Because I already checked it. So in the 3 case, for example, I knew that it was 1 plus 3 plus 5 because I already checked the 3 case. Right? That's why I knew to stop at 5 when I was trying to prove the 4 squared case, because I'd already computed the 3 case. And so I knew it went up to 5. And here what I'm doing is I'm going to compute the n plus 1 case, and I'm going to assume I already computed the n case. And my statement says that in the n case, I go up to 2n minus 1, so that's how far I have to go. I don't know if that was any clearer, but I will say it once again by writing it out in the proof, okay? And then you can see if that helped to clarify. So when I write out my proof, I'm going to say induction. So check the base case. Okay, so we're going to get started here. We're going to do the simplest one, the n equals 1 case. Okay, so case of n equals 1, which is, okay, so if I look at the n equals 1 case, that's 1 squared is equal to 1 and is true. Which is true. Okay, so I did the base case. I did this case. Done. And now I'm going to do all the other cases, just like we did 4, or more generally how we did n plus 1. And the way that one says that is for induction, that the case of n is true, and so I'll just write it out. So we have n squared is equal to 1 plus 3 plus 5, etc., through whatever it says, so 2n minus 1. So I'm assuming the result for the case of n, which is a little weird to do, but anyway, that's the logic, okay? Hence, and now I'm going to try to compute this n plus 1 case. Okay, so let me just do that. So, and I'm just going to copy what we did over here because this was correct. So hence, n plus 1 squared is equal to, just expanding, n squared plus 2n plus 1, just expanding by FOIL. And so then, which is equal to, and now I'm going to make use of this equality that I have here. Right, and so I get exactly what I wrote previously when we were working it out, the sum through 2n minus 1, so that's the n squared, and then I have the remaining part, which is 2n plus 1. Okay? And so now I just write out what this is. This is all the odd numbers up through this one here at the end, which is 2 times n plus 1 minus 1. So 2. Okay, all right, therefore, by the principle of mathematical induction, the claim holds. Okay, and that's exactly what I would write. So is there any question about how that logic works? It's a little bit weird, and so it takes a little bit of getting used to, mostly because you're assuming what you're trying to prove, okay? And that's the weird part. But what you're doing is you're assuming what you're trying to prove for the smaller case and then proving it for the bigger case. Okay, so just like over here, we used the fact that we knew what it was already for 3 to figure it out for 4, okay? But the actual logic is we actually figured it out for 1, and then we used 1 to figure out 2, and then 2 to figure out 3, and 3 to figure out 4, all the way down.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
So why do we choose 1 to be the base case?
Okay. We are assume the claim is that it's true for every n in n, which means it has to be true for 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. We can't prove 1 the same way we did the other ones because we don't know any previous case that we already have figured out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, so we have to do something different. In fact, I'll do an example later where we only want to prove it for 3 and bigger, so then 3 is the base case. But in this case, 1 is the smallest one.
Okay.
That's right, exactly. We feed the inductive hypothesis in for n, and then prove it for n plus 1, 1 bigger. PMI, yeah, this is principle of mathematical induction, and it's shorter to just write that, but... But I'll write it out right now. Although I'm not sure how legible that is. But in any case, that's PMI. Okay. Other questions about the strategy of this type of strategy? It's a kind of a fun strategy of proof. Okay, well, let me do a couple more examples. Yeah, so you should be a little bit, as usual, you need to be a little bit careful that you are saying enough things to make it clear. Yes, if you felt that there was anything that was ambiguous about 2n plus 1 being the next odd number beyond 2n minus 1, you should say it. Yeah, it's certainly worth, it would be certainly not unreasonable that you could say, you could have added, right here, since 2n plus 1 is the odd number following 2n minus 1. Yes, that's a very reasonable thing to have added or not added, whichever you think is, however you think is necessary to make it clear. Because you certainly want your reader to understand that fact, and so either you feel it's clear enough, or you feel that they need it to be needs to be pointed out. Either one's fine. Other questions about this proof? Okay, well, let me just try a couple more. They are best, I think, with practice. So here's one, also from the text. Claim. For every, and as always, these are going to be something like for every n. Natural number n, there is it is true that. Okay, and let's see. So here's the one we have. So n plus 3 is less than 5n squared. Okay. All right, and so. So as usual, we go through our planning over here. Okay, and so as usual, we just try a few of them just to make sure that it works, so they understand it. Let's say, so n equals 1, that says that 1 plus 3 is less than 5 times 1, it's true, good. N equals, say, 3, it says that 3 plus 3 is less than 5 times 9. It's also true. Okay, so that's the kind of thing we're stating, and it seems to be fine so far. So that's what we're trying to prove. All right, and then the next thing, as usual, is to look at the logic. And this is going to be, once again, an inductive proof type logic. So it has the structure for all n in n. P of n, right? So that's the type of structure it has. So so use induction. Okay, so if we use induction, let's go to the next thing. What are we going to assume? What are we going to try to prove? So for induction, we have to do two things. So prove P of 1, the base case. Okay, and then the next part of it is we will assume P of n and prove and show, conclude, P of n plus 1, and this is the induction step. Okay, so that's the way that you structure it, so that's what you assume and what you're going to try to prove when you're doing a induction proof. And so then we have to go through and figure out what the ideas are to actually do this and see if we can make it work. So let's see. So base case, usually that's the easy thing, but it's good to do it. So we did it above. All right, so I did that. So and then the induction step. So again, the confusing thing is always what you're assuming, what you're trying to prove. Okay, so we're assuming, let's see, Pn. So that says if I go back over here to my claim, I plug in n and I have n plus 3, I have exactly this equation, right? So I have assuming that n plus 3 is less than 5n squared, okay? And then we want to show okay, so I want to plug in n plus 1, and so I have n plus 1 plus 3. Okay, well, I want to relate that to the previous one, so this is equal to n plus 3 plus 1, okay? And so why did I do that? Because I want to get it back to something I know about, right? So I wanted to get it to look just like what I knew about. And so I knew something about n plus 3. So I'm going to rewrite it as n plus 3 plus 1. Okay, and so then this I know is less than 5n squared plus 1. And this is my induction fact. Okay, so that's where I made use of my induction. And then I can keep going. So, and now what I'm trying to get to, of course, is, let me just note where I'm headed. I want to get to five times n plus one squared, right? That's my goal. If I get that, then I'm done. So I need to get something in between so that I get rid of it. And so let's see. Let's see what this is equal to and start working from the other side. So this is 5 n squared plus 10 n plus 5, okay? And so then, let's see, so this is bigger than what I wanted up there. So 5 n squared plus 1. So I worked forward for a while, and I worked backward for a while, and they met, okay? So I'm done. All right, so any questions about the scratch work? So that's the working out how the proof's going to go. And so now I can write it out as a careful induction proof. Okay, so let's do that. So proof, so over here it says the usual thing. So for just like we did before, where did it go? Check the base case. That's the first thing you do. So check the base case. N equals 1, and which is okay. It's with, I guess it should be with n equals 1, which is so 1 plus 3 is equal to 5. Is less than 5 times 1 squared, which is true. Okay, 4 is less than 5, so that's true. And then compute. So now we do our induction step. Assume for induction. That, okay, and so now we're going to make the assumption, which is the case n, so that n plus 3 is less than 5n squared, okay, and check, hence, okay, so we're going to go back over to here. Actually, looking at our scratch work here, it maybe is a little bit easier to start at this end and work backwards, so let's just do that, all right? So we have, hence, 5 n plus 1 squared is equal to 5n squared plus, well, I want this plus 1, plus the rest of the stuff, so that's 10n plus 9, okay, and that's what I ended up using, which is bigger than 5n squared plus 1, okay, which is bigger than n plus 3 plus 1, which is equal to the n plus 1 plus 3. So we got the result that we wanted. Therefore, by the principle of mathematical induction, the claim holds. Okay, any question about that? So the key things you should be looking for here is you did a base case. Always be careful to do the base case, okay? Usually that's easy. Got to make sure you do it, okay? Because if it's not true, then your whole thing is worthless. Okay, so then the next thing is you assume exactly what it is you're trying to prove for the n case. And what you have to end up with is exactly what it is you're trying to prove for the n plus 1 case. Okay, try to make it as exact as possible. So here I try to write, I split it off into the n plus 1 plus 3, so it looks just exactly like what would happen if I plugged n plus 1 into this. Okay, so that's what I want. And similarly over here, I want it to look just exactly like what I get when I plug n plus 1. Okay, so that's what it should look like. And then once it looks exactly the same, then you're done, and you can say by PMI you've achieved your goal. Okay. Any questions about this proof structure? All right. Let's see. So maybe I'll try one that doesn't work. So there's a question in the chat there as to just how much detail is required. And once again, that's a matter of sort of judgment call, whether each of these inequalities is clear. Okay, so if one of them is unclear, then you should add more facts about why it's true. So that's the, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, in my judgment, these were all clear. So that's why I stopped there. But you know, if you felt otherwise, feel free to add another step. All right, and so let me give a bad proof. There's a bad proof. And actually, this is actually quite a classic statement. I think it comes from the 60s from an article. In any case, it's a fun little failure of doing it right, and it's also one of the exercises in the back of the text, because it's always in there. It's such a fun one, and it's wrong. But it's clearly wrong. But let me just see if you can spot the error. So claim. Any group of n horses are all the same color. Okay, so this is clearly false. But now let me try to prove it using mathematical induction. You can try to spot the error. Okay, so that's the goal here. So. So proof. Look for the error. Okay, so so I'm just going to try writing it out in the standard mathematical induction scheme. All right, so and so I'll just do the same thing I did over here. Check the base case. So I check the base case. And I will say that most proofs that go wrong for induction, that's where it happened. You messed up your base case, actually, which is often the easiest, so you should always check that one first. But check the base case n equals 1, which is that any one horse is all the same, is one color. And it's true. Okay, so that's my base case. Now the second thing is assume for induction that, okay, so I just take my exact statement that to any group of n horses and I'm just going to copy exactly my statement, are all the same color. Okay, and then I'm going to go through and do what I do before. So I assume for induction, and then hence, and then I do it for the n plus 1. So let me try that. In any group of n plus 1 horses, let me draw a little picture over here for what I'm going to do. So I'm going to take my n plus 1 horses, and I'm going to look at the first n, and see that they're the same color, and the last n, and see that they're the same color, and then note that those two are, therefore the whole group is the same color. So n equals n plus 1 horses, the first n are all the same color, and the last n are all the same color. Which is the same as, they overlap in the middle, So they are the same cover. And these two groups both contain the middle horses and they are therefore the same color. So all n plus 1 are the same color. N plus 1 horses are all the same color. Therefore, by PMI, the claim holds. QE. Okay, so that's the structure, and we just got a false result. So, so can anyone spot where the error happened here? Well, so actually, maybe I'll just think about it for a while. So once again, let me just note the logic. Okay, so in fact, maybe I'll just add it to the homework. The logic is we have these n plus 1 horses. We look at the first n, and that it fits into our deductive hypothesis because it's a group of n. Okay, so we can do that one. And this last n, that fits into our inductive hypothesis, so we can do that one. Okay, and so these n are all the same color, those n are all the same color, and so then we claim that all of the n plus 1 are the same color. Anyway, this does only prove it for finitely many, but even for finitely many horses, which is how many there are in the world, they're not actually all the same color, right? So there's something amiss with our argument here. Anyway, think about it. Just think about it, and I'll move on. But clearly, there's some sort of error. And, all right. So, let's see. I've got a few more minutes. Let me note one of the ways that this. Generalizes. So the generalized induction method and an example that we've already done that we will do again. Okay. Okay. So generalized induction. Principle of mathematical induction. Okay, so it's similar. So you want to show the same thing for all n and n P of n. But the structure is as follows by so you always start the same way. Show P of 1, base case. Okay. But now we're going to assume a little bit more, which is, it's not that much more, but it's more. And you assume that not just the previous case, but all the previous cases. And sometimes that's helpful. So assume for every less than or equal to m, we have P of n. Okay, instead of just one less, and show, oops, not the same bullet point. So assume that, and show P of m plus 1. Okay, so we're not just assuming the m, but we're assuming m minus 1 and m minus 2 and m minus 3. So we're assuming all the previous ones. Okay, so that's reasonable and sometimes helpful. All right, so I just want to do an example where that's actually helpful. And it's a theorem we've already proven. But as I said, we're going to now phrase the proof as a generalized induction proof. And you might recognize that we kind of shoveled something a little bit under the rug when we did it last time. So theorem, no, I'll call it a claim, square root of 2 is irrational. So I want to restate that theorem as in the form that we can apply mathematical induction to. So I want it to look like this, okay? So I want it to, for all n, some property, okay? And so let me do that. Let me put it over here. So the proof plan So consider this as an induction proof. So an inductive statement as follows. So it should be for all n, a natural number, something. Okay, and the thing that I want to have is that root 2, actually let me put it this way, there does not exist an a, an integer, with a over n equals root 2. Okay, so first of all, is it clear that that's sufficient? So if I prove that, then I'm done, right? Because if root 2 were rational, then it would be a over n for some n, for some natural number n, okay? So remember what we did last time, is we said take the smallest n. Induction is really a way of doing that for you, taking the smallest case. So induction is almost the same as saying take the smallest counterexample. It's nearly equivalent logically. Okay, but anyway, that's how we want to do it. All right, and so then we do the usual cases. So the base case with n equals 1 is that root 2 is not a over 1. And what is a over 1? What kind of number is that? Yeah, it's an integer, right, as someone mentioned there in the chat. Right, an integer. Okay, and we can just compute, since 0 squared is not 2, 1 squared is not 2, and if the absolute value of a is bigger than or equal to 2, then a squared is bigger than 2, and therefore not 2. So we can do the base case, all right? So that one's true. All right, and so then now we want to do the induction hypothesis. And the claim is here that I want to make, this is supposed to be an illustration of generalized induction, so let's use the generalized hypothesis. So, and now for, assume for induction, that for any n less than or equal to m, we have there does not exist a over n equals root 2. Right, so that's our assumption. Okay, and hence. Okay, so now I'm trying to prove that there does not exist something. And so what would be the usual way to prove there does not exist something? Right? So the goal is, yes, exactly. Someone got it there in the chat. It's going to be contradiction proof. So assume for contradiction, there exists B with B over n plus 1 equals the square root of 2. Okay, so that's our assumption. So is it clear now that if we can get a contradiction out of this, then we'll get that this does not exist, right? And so then we will have proven the next case, the case we're looking for, the n plus 1 case. Okay, and then we will have finished our induction proof. All right, so let's just try that. So hence, and we already proved this before, so it's going to go through the same line of logic, okay, but of computations. Hence, we square, cross multiply, and square, so we get b squared is equal to 2 times m plus 1 squared, right? B squared is even. So b is even. So we get that 4k squared is equal to 2 times, and so this is the same computation we did before, that's why we can do it so quickly, because we remember it from before, okay, is equal to 2 times m squared, and so we can divide both sides by 2, we get 2k squared is equal to m plus 1 squared, so m plus 1 squared is even, so m is even. Sorry, m plus 1 is even. So m plus 1 is equal to 2 times r is even. And then we can do the same thing we did before. We can rewrite it and cancel the 2's here. We have k over r is equal to 2k over 2r is equal to b over m plus 1 is equal to the square root of 2. Okay, and I'm trying to get a contradiction. Why is that a contradiction? What's the last thing I need to write to make sure that that's a contradiction? So somewhere we have to go back and use our hypothesis, right? So our induction hypothesis was that this is not true, right? There does not exist such a thing. And the only assumption we had on this n was right here, that n was smaller than m, okay? So all I need to argue is that this r here is smaller than m, and then I'm done, okay? Smaller than or equal to m. But r is less than or equal to m, contradicting the hypothesis. Okay, so does the logic make sense? So it's actually similar logic to the way we proved it before, but now we're phrasing it as an induction. Yeah, that's right. So someone's pointing out in the chat, should I be calling this, John, that this should be smallest? That's how we did it before. Before we said we're going to take the smallest, okay? And that was how our proof worked. What this is saying is that, well, smallest, remember that it was a little bit tricky to actually write out what smallest means in a logical form. It's kind of a lengthy thing. And we never did it. We just said, let's take it to be the smallest. This is a way of dealing with that. And so instead of saying the smallest, we have just said that, well, we're assuming that there's nothing smaller for which this is true. And that becomes our induction hypothesis. So now this is just is there anything like this? We're not assuming that it's the smallest, but we kind of are because we're assuming this up here. Okay, so then we went down and found that, well, we got a smaller one, and that contradicted our thing. So what we're doing is, it's another way of saying we're taking the smallest counterexample. That's another way to say it. Okay, I am out of time, and actually that's pretty close to a complete proof. So my sketch you can sort of put back into the complete proof version. But in any case, I will stop the recording and stick around for questions.